For Vedanta Sara. They were on Vedanta Sara now.
Vedanta Sasyanama.
All right.
You're a little too soon today.
Page 71. I'm doing the footnote, Akashat Patitam Toyam. You should have that. Let's see, on this.
It's for us, 84.
For either 84 or 79 at the bottom.
Yeah, 71.
Oh, yeah, 71 or 79.
79?
What did you say? 84.
I thought
84. Okay, 84 or 71. And if you have the notes, what page is it on? What number is it on the notes?
19.
Number 19.
No, it's page 18.
Page 18. Okay. This is nice. We're still on the Vashat Kadaha. This is the only one I'm going to do on the Vashat Kadaha.
Oh, it's the
1st
of February.
Yeah, February 1st. So let's read this. Repeat after me. Do you ever have it? Do you have it, Marjorie? Do you have it? Akashat.
I think it's
84.
84?
On the bottom.
Did you start?
Oh, sure.
But
yeah. Let's go ahead.
But it's also on 18.
Okay.
Repeat after me. Akashat Patitam.
Akashat Patitam.
Toyam.
Toyam.
Yatha Gachati.
Sagaram.
Sarva Deva Namaskaraha.
Sarva Deva Namaskaraha.
Keshavam.
Keshavam.
Pratigachati.
Pratigachati.
So this is beautiful. It says, Akashat, from space, ablative singular, from the space, Patitam Toyam. The Toyam is water. Water, which is fallen. From which is fallen, past passive participle, the toyam, the water, patitam, which is fallen from the space. Yata, just as water, fallen, which has fallen from space, gachati, third person singular, goes, sagaram, to the ocean. Just as the water that falls down from the space, from the sky, goes into the ocean. Okay, gachati, sagaram. Sagaram is ocean. Sarva Deva Namaskaraha, the nominative singular, salutations, the salutations, the namaskaras, prostrations to all the devas. Sarva Deva Namaskaraha, our salutations to all the devas. Keshavam, Keshavam is a name for Vishnu. Yeah, pretty gachati. All of them go to Vishnu.
Oh, nice.
Is Sarva a long A?
Sarva, no, it's short. Sarva, Sarva Deva, Deva Namaskaraha. Okay. So Akashat Patitam Toyam Yatha Gachati Sagaram. Sarva Deva Namaskaraha Keshavam Pratigachati. So Swamiji says something so nice here in the third paragraph. Down, let's just read this. It says, where is the individual jiva? In which part of the physical body does he exist? The individual is all over the body, all pervasive. When the little finger of the person is touched, it is not that only a part of the person is touched, but the complete attention of the person is drawn to the little finger. So too, every devata is Parameshwara because he is Vishwa, all pervasive. Therefore, Vashatkara, the deity invoked with a vishat, is Parameshwara alone. Even though the oblation is offered only to a particular devata, and it no doubt goes into the fire, still it finally goes only to Parameshwara, just as all the water that comes from the sky ultimately goes to the ocean, through the rivers.
Yeah.
Similarly, all salutations go to Bhagawan. But I like this. If this is the case with even the devatas, then the human beings who receive namaskaras must act as conduits and direct all the namaskaras to Bhagawan. I think that's so nice,
yeah.
You know. It's really beautiful. I love this. Akashat Patitam Toyam Yatha Gachati
Sagaram. Do you know where that comes from?
No, I don't. They didn't give a source.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah. So I want to go on now to number 4, Bhuta Bhavya Pavat Prabhu.
Thank you.
So this is the fourth nama. And you have a sheet, Bhuta. So repeat after me. Bhuta, Bhavya, Bhavat, Prabhu.
Bhuta, Bhavya, Bhavat, Prabhu.
Bhuta is the past. That's of course. These are all forms of bhu, to become, to be. Bhuta, that which has been. Bhuta, the past. Bhavya, that which will be, that which is to be, the future. So Bhuta, Bhavya, Bhavat, being, that which is, present participle, Bhavat, that which is being now. So Bhuta, Bhavya, Bhavat, Prabhu. Vishnu, the Lord.
Bhavya is potential.
Potential participle, so it means that which is to be. It's a word they use for the future. So that which was, that which has been. Bhavya, that which will be. Bhavat, that which is. Okay. Prabhu, so the Lord, the one who is the Lord of the past, future, and present. Bhuta, Bhavya, Bhavat, Prabhu. Okay. That's a karma. That's a shashti purusha between Prabhu and the dwandva compound of Bhuta, Bhavya, Bhavat. Okay.
Prabhu,
the Lord.
What's the etymology of that?
The one who has all power, something like that. But let's look at how Swamiji does it, how they do it in the little vritti here. So repeat after me. Bhutam Bhavyam Bhavacha Iti.
Bhutam Bhavyam Bhavacha Iti.
Bhuta Bhavya Bhavanti.
Bhuta Bhavya Bhavanti.
Tesham Prabhu.
Tesham Prabhu.
So here, he breaks the first compound as a dwandva, the past, bhutam, bhavyam, the future, that which is to be, and bhavat, present participle, being, the present. See the cha? So the cha puts a cha in for all three. So we, in English, we'd say the past, the future, and the present. Iti, so that iti says now he's done what we call the vigraha, breaking the compound. And now he repeats it, Bhuta Bhavya Bhavanti, as a dwandva, ending in the neuter nominative plural of the present participle Bhavat. It looks like a third. It looks like a verb, right? But it's not. It's the third. It's the nominative plural of a present participle.
Oh.
Gachan, gachataha, gachanti.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about?
Nothing for you. Bhuta Bhavya Bhavanti. Then he gives the relationship between this dwandva compound and Prabhu, which is a karma. It's a shashti tat purusha. So the one who is the Prabhu, the Lord of them, the Prabhu of them.
Mm-hmm.
Tesham is in the genitive plural. So he's just here. This first sentence for Sanskrit people really is breaking the compound, first by breaking what we call the dwandva compound, which takes these three words and joins them with and, Bhuta, right? Bhuta, Bhavya, and Bhavat. And you say Bhuta and Bhavya and Bhavat and. So it's a Karmadharya. A dwandva. And then you take that one compound and relate it to Prabhu, and it relates as a shashti tat purusha, so it has a genitive plural relationship with Prabhu. So the Prabhu, the Lord of these three. You see? So that's what they've done in the first sentence here. And when you are reading commentaries, this is frequently done. In the commentary, they will do the vigraha. It means they'll break the compound. Okay, put the endings back on. To more or less degree. Okay. So now let's look at this next. He says something about this. Kala bedam.
Kala bedam.
Anadritya.
Anadritya.
Sanmatra.
Sanmatra.
Pratyogikam.
Pratyogikam.
Aishwaryam tasya.
Aishwaryam tasya.
Iti prabhutvam.
Iti prabhutvam.
Okay. So kala beda. Beda means different or division. So kala beda is the division of times, right? The division of the three times, past, present, and future. So the beda, the difference of the times, the division of the times, kala beda. Beda comes from the root bid, to cut or to divide. Right? So you can say the division of the three times, you can use it as difference, the difference of the three times. So kala bhedam is going to be past, present, and future, these three times, right? So the division of time, kala bhedam. Anadhritya is an indeclinable, and it means like regardless of, not in spite of, regardless of these three divisions of time. Sanmata pratyogikam, that which is the antithesis, pratyogika, these three times, this kala veda, is the antithesis of pure being. Sanmatra, just being alone. Sanmatra means only being. If we say being or existence, there's no time in being. So you can't divide being itself into three times. So the kala veda, this division into time, is the antithesis of just being itself. So the Aishwaryam, is of the one who has Aishwarya over, the Aishwaryam of this is the Prabhutvam. Means the overlordship. The one who is the Lord or the master of the three times means the one who is pure being, Sanmatra. So the one who is Sanmatra, which is very different mm-hmm. than past, present, and future, because past, present, and future negate each other. Each moment of time has a beginning and an end. It's replaced by the following moment. So that means in the three Vedas, in the past, present, and future, they have to be mitya, because the Vedas, time is flowing, continually replaced by the next moment. Whereas Sanmatra, being alone, is the being which is the adhishtana of the time, of
nothing,
the nitya of time.
Replaces that.
No, that's the adhishtana of time itself. So what this means, when we do unfoldments about this, is the recognition that, in fact, because of the past, present, and future, as we analyze past, present, and future, every moment, if you take a moment as linear, every moment of time is infinitely divisible. So, in fact, you can't find the present within past, present, and future because you can't find a timeless moment. Right? So every moment, if it's linear, takes up time, then it's divisible into a smaller unit of time, and that division is infinite. So you can never get to a moment within time. And so, actually, in terms of the reality of our experience, we are always only in the present. Because the past is already gone, right? So you can bring back a memory of the past, but you can't re-experience the past. The only thing you experience is the present. But in terms of mitya, past, present, and future, you can never experience the present because there's no present to be found, because it's infinitely divisible. And so actually, the experience of the present is the timeless presence of your own being, which is never not there. You never experience past and future. You experience a memory of the past or a projection into the future. So your only experience really is the presence, which is your own being, which is the adhishtana of past, present, and future. Make sense? So that Aishwaryam, that lordship, all-powerful, over that overlordship, is the Prabhutvam. So Ishwar, the Atma, is really the adhishtana, or the very being, the very self of past, present, and future.
I forgot what Prabhutvam was.
Lord, the Lord. Being the Lord. That Tva means
overlordship.
Aishwarya sometimes is called overlordship or all power. All powerfulness is Aishwarya. The one who has all power, all capacity, is the Lord over everything. Like you could say, for instance, Ganesha is a devata. But Ganesha as a devata, or Krishna as an avatar, or Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva as aspects, all are lords, but Ishvara, Vishnu, is the Lord of all lords. In other words, there's no lord who is the Lord of Vishnu. Like Ganesha has a lord, Ishvara is the Lord of Ganesha. Ishvara is the whole, Brahmaji is a part. See what I mean? And so the one for whom there is no higher lord is Vishnu or Ishwara.
Okay. Say Prabhutvam is over lordship.
No,
like
no.
That?
Just say the state of being the lord.
Okay, that, but what does Prabhutvam mean? Tvam is usually okay. State of being.
Okay, so wait a minute.
Okay.
Prabhu means the lord.
Okay.
Prabhu, the tvam affix, or ta, means the state of being that. So being the lord. So the Prabhutvam, the state of being the Lord.
Okay.
Okay, to go back to this word present, it seems like you're giving two definitions of it, one that's involved with time and one's with timeless.
From the standpoint of past, present, and future, that which is timeless is the Adhishtana, the very self of time. That's all.
Okay.
So Brahman plus Maya is Ishwara,
yeah.
Right? Taking into account the Maya, when we say Ishwara, the Lord, then we're talking about Lord of what? So that means Brahman with the Maya Upadhi is Ishwara. Vishnu is Ishwara, right? Because Vishnu is the Brahman plus the Maya Upadhi manifest. So all of this is Vishnu, because the whole creation is being sustained now. It's not coming into creation. It's not going out of creation. It's Vishnu.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Ishwara. So Ishwara is, Vishnu is just a name for Ishwara,
mm-hmm.
Right? Brahmaji is a name for Ishwara when Ishwara comes into manifestation. Vishnu is a name for Ishwara when the Ishwara is being sustained. When the creation goes into unmanifest condition, Shiva, then Vishnu is referred to as Shiva. So Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are aspects of Ishwara. Right. All of the and that's what's why I read that passage to you. All of the devatas are just aspects of Ishwara. Each devata is a capacity. It's a law. It's a manifestation of a law.
Job descriptions.
It's a job description. Yeah. If you divide, Swamiji's talked like this. You know, in the lectures, in discussions on the homepage, he was talking one time about. Really, there are an infinite number of devatas because each devata really represents a law in the creation.
Mm-hmm.
All of the different orders of creation is itself a devata. You know, like I could say, well, my hand is a devata, but each finger is also a devata.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that. So the laws of the creation, can each one can be worshipped and honored as a devata. That's why I say, when we're praying to Ishwara, if we want Ishwara to bless us in a certain way, we can evoke Ishwara in the form of a certain devata. Like we usually, Ganesha, please remove all of the obstacles.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
Yeah, and then we can evoke Lakshmi, you know, to take care of my health and wealth and security. We can evoke Saraswati for knowledge.
That's why we can say all is Ishwara. Right?
Yeah, everything is Ishwara. And if you're evoking Saraswati, you're evoking Ishwara. You're evoking Ishwara through the devatas, through that aspect. Okay, are we okay with that?
And that includes the psychological laws as well. I mean, say if you have a psychological reaction, you tend to blame yourself, but actually it's Ishwara's law, right? I mean,
it's Ishwara's
in fact,
law. I like that.
In fact, that's a nice. That's a really good meditation to where what you can do is when you have a reaction, some sort of any type of reaction, you can actually objectify that reaction, the context of the reaction, how it took place, and then look at all of the parts that led up to that reaction.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you'll see that that reaction actually is the natural effect of all of the things coming together to produce it. The reaction is produced. And so that reaction is the product of all of these things coming together, all of these causes coming together. And so to objectify that gives you, your being, some freedom from it. You can see it is Ishwara's order that this reaction was generated by the behaviors of all the behaviors that came together. And so say if a reaction is caused, there's a reaction between two people. You can objectify the two people and then look at all of the things that led up to the the dynamic that produced that particular reaction, and so you can see it all as part of Ishvara. But you can also recognize the cause-effect relationship that generated that, and you can make a change, right? Because that reaction was generated, and there's something that caused it to be generated. It just doesn't generate out of the blue. There's something that was instrumental. Okay? Let's go to number 5. So we have in this first one, Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu, the Lord of past, future, and present now. Repeat, Bhuta Krit.
Bhuta Krit.
Now, Bhuta means, we can take Bhuta as all beings. So Krit, the one who is the creator of beings, of all beings. And Krit also has another meaning of that which destroys. So here, Bhuta Krit, it's going to come from another root, which I'll get into in a minute. Bhuta Krit means the one who is the creator and the destroyer of all beings. So Ishvara is the creator and the destroyer of all beings. So let's look at why.
Repeat after. Can I ask quickly, when Bhuta means the past and when Bhuta means beings, is it the same Bhu?
Yes, the same Bhu, but it can mean that which has been or that which has been born, that which has come into being. If it's that which has been come into being, it can mean all of the elements.
Right.
Or it can also mean created beings. Can be the jivas or all living beings. It can also be the five elements. It can also be a word for the past.
So wow. It's the same etymology, but it can have these two different meanings. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We'll see it here now as he does it in here. So Bhuta Krit. Krit comes from the root. As we'll see, they're using three different roots for Krit. Kri means to do, to make. So that's the first one. The one who makes is the creator of all beings. There's also a root, the root, instead of krit, and that means that which destroys. And there's another one, as we'll say, kri, that also means that which kills. So let's look at the commentary to see that.
Last one?
Let me look at the commentary and describe it to you. Repeat after me. Bhutani.
Bhutani.
Karoti.
Karoti.
Iti. Bhuta Krit.
Bhuta Krit.
So this is in the nominative singular, right? So, Bhutani beings, Karoti. He who makes, he creates. Karoti, he creates, he makes the beings. Bhutani Karoti. Iti Bhuta Krit. So the creator, okay? Or we say, Bhutani Krintati. Krintati is a six pairs maipada from Krit, okay? And it means to destroy or to cut to pieces. So take it as destroy. Krintati or Krinoti also has a similar meaning, and that comes from Kr, which is a long R, and it's a fifth pairs maipada, Krinoti. So you have Krit, which is six pairs maipada, and that would be Krintati.
Where does the
note
come in for the six
pairs? No, it doesn't. For Krit, yes. For the six pairs maipada, many of the roots take a nakara. It's an exception, but there's a whole group in the six gana that take a nasal. Okay. But in for Krit, the long R, that's five pairs maipada, that will take nu, which becomes no. So that's Krinoti. And that means to kill also, to injure, to destroy. So he says, the first meaning is Bhuta Krit, the one who creates the beings. Then the other meaning is Bhutani Krintati or Krinoti. Krinoti or Krintati meaning Hinasti. Hinasti comes from Himps, which is a 9p, 9 pairs maipada, and that means to kill, to injure, to destroy. So you can take for the second meaning of Krit can either come from Krintati or Krinoti in the sense of Hinasti Itiva, okay? Bhuta Krit. So you can take it either the one who creates the beings or the one who destroys the beings, okay? So both... So in this one, Brahmaji and Shiva are represented by Bhuta Krit.
The really funny thing is that Vishnu is actually neither the creator nor the destroyer, but the maintainer.
Yes.
And he's being described as the other two.
Yeah, here. Because all of them are Ishwara.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's go to six. Bhuta Brit.
Bhuta Brit.
The one who sustains Brit. The one who sustains Bhuta, the beings. The sustainer of all beings, Bhuta Brit. So we've got Bhuta Krit and Bhuta Brit. Okay? So look at the thing. Bhutani.
Bhutani.
Biparati.
Biparati.
Dharayati.
Dharayati.
Poshyati.
Poshyati.
Itiva.
Itiva.
Bhuta Brit.
Bhuta Brit.
So the Brit means what? Bhutani is the accusative plural in the non in the neuter. Neuter accusative plural. The beings, Bibharati, comes from Brit, which is the third parasmaipada. That's why the reduplication, right? Bibharati. Bibharati means Dharayati. In the causal, Dharayati comes from Drip, and it means, in the causal, it just means to sustain, to bear, to hold. So Bibharati means Dharayati, also means Poshyati, which comes from Push. Push means, in the fourth parasmaipada, it means to be nourished, but Poshyati is causal, and it means to nourish. Rather than be nourished, it means to nourish, to bring about the nourishment. So the Bhuta Brit is the one who sustains Bhuparati Dharayati, the one who nourishes. It gives the very being to the creation.
Sounds like Vishnu.
Yeah. So iti va Bhuta Brit. Profound. Okay. Bhuta Brit.
Oh no, I didn't.
Okay. Everybody see it? So we've got Bhuta Krit, Bhuta Brit. Look at number seven. Bhavaha.
Bhavaha.
Prapancha rupena.
Prapancha rupena.
Bhavati iti.
Bhavati iti.
Kevalam bhavati.
Kevalam bhavati.
Iti evam.
Iti evam.
Va.
Bhavaha.
So bhavaha usually just means being, existence. But it can be like this. Pratirupena bhavati. The one who exists, who is in the form of the prapancha, in the form of the universe, the one who is existing as the universe, in the form of the universe. Or kevalam bhavati itieva, itiva, itieva va bhavaha. So it has two meanings. The one that exists as the universe. Prapancha means universe, prapancha rupa in the form of the universe, the one who exists as the universe, or va, the one who purely exists purely in and of itself, that eva, as itself alone, as the sat, as pure sat, conscious, as pure being, as the very sat. So the one who exists as the conscious being, which is in the form of the universe, or just the being itself, the one who is pure being, the very being of the universe.
Kevala by itself means?
Kevala means alone.
Oh, okay.
Alone indeed.
Merely.
Merely, only. It only exists as itself. Kevalam bhavati, it's only being, pure being, being alone. Okay. So when you say bhavaha, you think of the bhava in the form of this universe, the sat in the form of the universe. Or you're just thinking of being, pure being alone, for bhava. Okay, bhavaha. Let's do the next one. Bhutatma.
Bhutatma.
Bhutatma. Read Bhutatma.
Bhutatma.
Bhutanam.
Bhutanam.
Atma.
Atma.
Antaryami.
Antaryami.
So, Bhuta Atma, the self of all beings. The self, the Atma of all, Swamiji says, of all that has come, of all that exists, the Atma of all that is, of all that has come. So the Atma of all beings, the Atma of everything. So in the commentary, the Bhutatma, if I break that down, the compound, it becomes Bhutanam, genitive plural, Atma, the self of all beings. Bhutanam, Atma. Bhutatma, okay? What is that, the Antaryami? The Antaryami is the conscious being that pervades all beings. The conscious being that pervades all beings, the Antaryami. The Antaryami means the inner ruler. The inner ruler is the conscious being, the Hiranyagarbha, the conscious being, because that abides in all beings.
Was there more to verse 7?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go back to 7. I forgot. Bhavanam.
Bhavaha.
Satta.
Atmakaha.
Bah. So it's Satta Atmakaha is one compound. Satta Atmakaha. Bah. So Bhavanam means becoming. The one who becomes the creation. Bhavanam. It's being, is being, coming into creation as the pancha. In the form of the creation, bhavanam, that which is being born. Well, no, it's a gerund. It's a gerund. And then bhavaha is just pure being. Bhavaha satatmakaha. Bhavaha means one whose nature is sat, existence, being itself. So bhava, that existence which is comes in the form of the creation, bhavanam, or the bhavaha, which is just pure existence. So this is a different word that bhavans, or this is a different way of saying what was just been said. Because look at in the first part, pancharupena bhavati. It is in the form of this universe. Okay? Then, or kevalam bhavati iti eva. It is being alone. So bhavanam, that which is born as the universe, pancharupa, or satatmaka, just the being itself. That which becomes the universe through Maya, right? The same being, but from the universe has come, and then that universe is that being alone. Make sense?
Then
Bhutatma.
Do we get to pick the meaning that we want, or
you have to have? You should have all of the meanings in your mind. It's not just in Sanskrit. If a compound can be broken in, just for now, compound can be broken in several ways. Every one of the ways should be true. If it's not true, then that's not a legitimate way of breaking the compound. Same is if a word has more than one meaning, then you take all of the meanings that are true. If the meaning is viruddha, means it's opposed to the pramana, opposed to the context, then you don't take that. But otherwise, the words or the compounds can be multidimensional. And so you'll find in the Upanishads or whenever we're reading a commentary, if a compound can legitimately be broken in more than one way, it is. It just adds dimension to the meaning. See what I mean? So let's do this last one, and then we'll be actually done with this verse. Bhuta Bhavanaha.
Bhuta Bhavanaha.
Here, the bhavana, he's taking two meanings. So read this. Bhutani bhavayati.
Bhutani bhavayati.
Janayati.
Janayati.
Vardiyati iti va.
Vardiyati iti
va. Bhuta bhavanaha.
Bhuta bhavanaha.
So he's taking it, the creator and sustainer of all things, because we'll look at the commentary, the first one. Bhutani. Accusative singular, plural, accusative plural in the neuter, bhutani, beings, bhavyati, causal of bhu, that which brings into being the beings, means janayati. The root jan means to be born. Janayati is causal, that which causes to be born. So the creator, so the one who is the bhavyati is the creator of beings. Brings all, causes all beings to be born, causes all beings to come into being. So the creator. So bhutani bhavyati means janayati. Vardiyati itiva, or the one who, vard comes from vrid, it means to increase, to make grow. It's a word that we use for sustain, it sustains, you know. So here, bhuta bhavanaha can either be the one who brings all of the beings into being, or who sustains all of the beings. Bhuta bhavanaha. Okay? Let's go back to look at what we've been through. On page, look at the first verse.
I'm sorry. What?
Verse number one.
Okay.
It's on, in my book, it's on page 63.
Verse number one.
I don't remember that.
It's on 77.
Yeah. It's on 62 in my. Om Vishwam Vishnurvat. See this? Om Vishwam Vishnur. See? Om Vishwam Vishnur. Vashatkaraha. Everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
So repeat. Om Vishwam Vishnur.
Om Vishwam Vishnur.
Vashatkaraha.
Vashatkaraha.
Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu. Bhuta Krit Bhuta Brit Bhavaha.
Bhuta
Krit Bhuta Brit
Bhavaha.
Bhuta Atma Bhuta Bhavanaha. We've done all of these. Next time I'm going to have, I don't have it up right now. Next time we'll have it up. And we'll chant, we'll be always chanting this one. Then when we get the second one, we'll always be chanting both that one and that one. But this should be real for you now. This verse should be real in terms of you should know what these words mean and be able to visualize it. Because when we chant the Vishnu Sahasranama, it really contains all knowledge. The whole, everything that the Upanishads unfold are in the Vishnu Sahasranama. That's why Swamiji says that this Gita home study and the Vishnu Sahasranama are enough.
Yeah,
in what he's given. He's given it. He said he's given everything. He has to give him these two.
He says that in the in the foreword.
He does?
The foreword is very interesting to read.
Yeah.
It's
so,
just a short little thing, but
so anyway, if we memorize this one, if you really know the meaning and each word, you know, each word brings the artha, the padartha, you know, that it brings the vision. So that's what we want, is to get that from all of these. Now the things are going to go a little more quickly. We're going to do word by word. Probably do at least four words a class.
And then will we be chanting from the beginning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty nice. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're getting a chance to actually read the commentary. It's worthwhile for them to read. So now we've spent all those months on that first part where it gave so much. Yeah, now it'll be a little more quick.
Mm-hmm. Page 74.
I made it.
Okay.
No, Vedanta Sara this time. I'm sorry, Edward.
What?
Hard times. It happens. We did some good things with the Nikarmana.
That's why I came to hear Vedanta.
Yeah. Well, that's a big loss. Okay. Let's take a moment. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.